Monday constituents work in the afternoon back to Parliament next week. So with those few words, I wish to welcome you. I also appreciate the presence of the department as well as the provinces as well as the municipalities that are amongst us today. You are more than welcome. You are not coming here for crucifixion. The reason why we invited you in this session, we wanted to have a direct contact. You can't say you are playing an oversight, and then you just climb the mountain, and you just stand on the top of the mountain and say and think that you are overseeing, and you are just looking at the sea. So oversight means a direct contact with the people whom you are working with, because we believe that this is our mandate, all of us, although Parliament plays an oversight to the executive, which is yourself, because the executive mandates yourself to do the job. But at the same time, we are here, all of us, for one common goal, is to ensure that the people of this country receive a better quality life. That's one common and common mandate we're having. So we can't have us and them. There's no us and them. We are all together, but what is important, we have to honor and respect our distinct roles that has been delegated to us by Parliament. So that is why you are here today. We are here to advise. We are here to hear from you. What are your challenges? You can even suggest some policy aspects, because Parliament has got the responsibility of making laws and of making sure that overseeing your policy that you develop, so that you can be able to implement these laws. So if those policies are advancing the agenda or the objective, the national objective, so it is very crucial that you also advise Parliament. It's not us who can call you. You have got a responsibility even to call us. You can invite us. You can request that you want to meet with us and discuss some issues. Because sometimes we do policies, and then when it comes for time for implementation, you'll find that it is difficult to implement that legislation or some forms of that legislation. So we need to discuss, and then we make means of making sure that whatever legislation that has been passed by Parliament is easy to implement. So with those viewers, we really, really welcome you. We appreciate your presence. And I would like to apologize for starting late, because we had unfortunate circumstances, and I believe that you will accept our apology. I thank you very much. In our agenda today, we've got two issues for discussion. We are going to receive a presentation from NETA in terms of their stretch plan for 2010. No, this is 2013. Yes. Yes. I don't want to say why we are getting this presentation today. We are all away. Lonyana not going to transform and I take her myself. So we are welcome you, NETA, and then we are going to have the briefing by the department in terms of the business plan, in terms of the national business plan. But the provinces are going to assist in responding to some of the questions that are going to come up from the honorable members. And then the municipalities, I believe they are also here, they are going to assist us. So We are going to start with the letter. Thank you very much. I don't know, Never, if you have something to say. Okay.
Just the apology of the DG chairperson. He will join the meeting. He's on his way, as well as the HODs for the relevant provinces are on their way. They'll join the meeting at 10 o'clock. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Chairperson, members and colleagues from the human settlements family, good morning. Chairperson, we thank the opportunity to present again. I will talk to our sins. Really, with the last attempt, it was not the intention to disrupt your program, but thanks for giving us this opportunity. As you have introduced, Chairperson, we are presenting a brief on our strategic plan going forward, highlighting things that will targets that we are outlined for the next 5 years, but focusing also on the first year. Just to recap on the mandate, Nature's mandate. Nature is established to ensure availability of region finance to small, medium, and established contractors that build low and moderate housing and related infrastructure. We would like to see ourselves partnering and being regarded as a partner of choice in seeking innovative bridging finance solutions in this sector. And in fulfilling our mandate, we set a mission that is quite bold, to initiate programs and take considered risks to ensure that there's sustainable flow of funding, and we would like to do this in partnership with role players in these markets where we intervene. Chairperson, we outlined as quite consistently in both the ATP and the strat plan the areas of focus, and we would summarize them as two strategic trusts that we're looking at. One being to restore sustainability in Nature's business. And we're saying that against the backdrop of rising provisions that we've experienced in the last few years, particularly in the lending programs where we're lending to contractors, small contractors. We have spent a lot of time this year working together with the department and NHBRC and other parties to structure a program that will better manage construction risks when we lend to contractors. And we've structured that program which will be implemented in this financial year, which is 12-13. We are also looking at ensuring relevance the past, you will know that we were working through intermediaries that were doing risk management on our behalf. And we are pulling that back and be able to implement that directly ourselves. And it helps us in managing and being able to deal with some of the issues that when we come to this house, they would be raised as areas of concern. We're working within an environment and, that's defined by the policy context, and our strategic plans have responded to that, which relates to issues of job creation, upgrade the agency of the gap housing area, the supply of services to integrate communities that would include sort of upgrading of human settlements, of informal settlements, and just picking up the delivery to meet the targets that have been set for human settlement. Business environment that we've been working on in is one that is characterized by international finance constraints, and we know what is happening in the financial sector internationally. And what you find is that what we could and the prices of funds that we could get 4-6 years ago, we can no longer secure these things. When we get into structuring with the private sector partners, if we are able to get prime, we are lucky. Anything under prime, it is hard to get in the market, particularly for the size of the balance sheet that we are. We were looking at dealing with construction risks that have arisen from various aspects, including sometimes poor flow of payments to smaller contractors that destabilize their well-being from a business point of view. So we're trying to be creative in this environment. We know that we've got new structures that we were establishing with other financiers, and in these dealings to secure and liberate funding from the private sector, you find that from time to time the DFI process will come as an area of uncertainty that we have to deal with. But we've been able to overcome some of those constraints. From a business development point of view on existing programs, I do want to highlight a few points, Chair, that one of the things that has made us to be confident in our strategic plan is the good base that will be given by the new capitalization of $300 million in the for 3 years. We secured $500 million in the last financial year. It will be this year and the outer year where we'll get $100 million. What that has done, it has allowed us a capacity to do two things. To leverage finance from the private sector. We've secured new funding structures with the KG's fund managers who are bringing in $75 million into affordable housing. We have secured a structure with the PIC who are bringing in $100 million as a contribution and increasing our capacity to lend to affordable housing. And we are proud to say that the year we're coming out of with the $100 million, it has enabled increasing capacity and pulling the private sector in. We've surpassed every year that we've been lending in affordable housing in loan values that we've given to developers for affordable housing. We're sitting at about $279 million, and we would like to see growth in that area. And really, just to enlighten the areas of growth that for us we see some good touching in. What we've been considered strongly as we were lending in affordable housing, particularly if we want to get into the gap market, are areas of location, issues of bulk services, and price of land. And we find that those three factors put together, they are able to help the viability of the project from different angles. From an angle of demand, and the ability to get approvals from the banks. Secondly, the bulk services, particularly if it's well shared between the public sector and the private sector, you are able to keep the prices within the range of the gap market. Because once you get developers to start investing on bulk funding, then they price that into the product and you're not able, or you're not, you won't succeed to get it within the gap market that is required. And that also the price of land. And we are excited by the fact that various tries have been made by the department and the institutions that are working within the department. And we're looking positively into the future for two reasons, perhaps. The work that will be done by HDA to be managing and intervening in the release of land and well-located land, because it bodes well on the leadership of the public sector in ensuring that there's increased volume in affordable housing, in affordable housing in the release of land. Secondly, the work that is being done by NHFC around FLIST, which will have a factor in energizing the market in the affordable housing area. And all these indicators are positive indicators that the public sector will start to play a bigger role than relying on private developers to produce affordable housing. And I think that that's a welcome development. And we're looking in the next 5 years to deliver conservatively 18,000, and we think that when all things come together, we will start to increase numbers in the production of affordable housing. Talking about the subsidy and infrastructure area, there are three areas that I would want to highlight. I've highlighted the fact that we're taking bigger accountability for the full value chain, the implementation of that, and minimizing relying on intermediaries. Second area, I've talked about the implementation of the construction contracted finance and development program, which will achieve better targeting for women and youth-led contractors. In this program has been made possible by a grant that will be coming from the department over the 3 years, so that we subsidize the price of supporting the contractors, instead of contractors paying for the support that we provide to them, that the grant will alleviate that pressure on the contractors. And the third area is a drive to recover on the delinquent loans to deal with the high provisions that we've been showing to this committee in the last 2 years. We said, Chairperson, we are also, with the capacity that we have, we are in collaborations with the various parties, provincial departments in human settlements, to extend our capacities in the program management area. People, leadership and systems, we're sitting with those systems because we also have finance management systems that we have available, and institutional development areas where there's sharing of knowledge that would be available. But amongst other things that we would want to achieve is that in the lending environment, when we see that the lending is not working well, there are a number of factors that are leading to increase in delinquent loans. We would like to be proactive. We would like to be proactive in managing and minimizing the risks that we find in the industry. And we would like to be proactive about that. And so our collaborations are informed by that. And there are various players that are in this area of work, over and above the National Department. It would be your NHBRC, your HDA are playing in this area. Chairperson, these are the targets that we have outlined. affordable housing. We would like to see a good consistent growth in affordable housing, and we think that if all other things that in human settlement we were working on, we could even see bigger numbers in that area. We remain an important player in the area of affordable housing in Idaho with various financing institutions and continuing to lend on infrastructure related to human settlements. The next slide really breaks down the year into quarterly achievements for monitoring purposes, and we've tried to sort of reduce the areas of impact into numbers that can be monitored going forward in the structure, outlining areas of job creation, houses to be expected to be completed, and the empowerment aspect. Chair, I'll pause there and give over to the Director of Finance, Mr. Rizal Hassan.
Thanks, Chairperson. This slide trying to show or to translate the information that we have spoken to into financial implications. The first column speaks to the latest estimate for the year ended March 2012, and the income from operations in that period is expected to be around 55 million rand. And that is expected then to grow up to the 102 million in the current financial year. And that is really informed by the fact that we are hoping to get significant growth on the program management fee, which is coming from 15 million to about 52 million. And the admin expenses, you will also notice that there's a growth there from the 60 million in the year ended 2012, which will grow to about 86 million. That figure includes the support costs that might be procured from the private sector to support the program management services that we provide. And that will then translate into a net operating deficit in the previous financial year, and a profit or a surplus in the year ended 2012 and 2013. And the movement in provision, we are still expecting that provisions will grow in this current financial year, which is the year ended 2015, of about 2.2 million. And that is also broken into the different quarters. And at the end of the financial year 2013, we are expecting a net surplus of about 15 million versus the 37 million that we are expecting in the previous financial year. Chairperson, also on the issue of maturity framework, the framework has been presented to the department and was approved by our board for submission to the department. And the maturity framework is setting a limit of about 4 million, meaning Chairperson, any issue that exceeds 4 million, we need to communicate that with the department and get approval where applicable. The compliance is really effective, Chairperson, in all areas. This next slide, Chairperson, speaks to the risk areas which we have identified through the risk workshop that we have. The areas that are listed here are all considered to be high risk areas. I won't get into the details of that, Chairperson, but just to say we are monitoring all those risk areas as far as we can. And on the issue of corporate governance, we have a fully functional unitary board of directors, and the board meets regularly. We have dates that are set for the year, which is about 3 board meetings annual, and we also have board committees which which are fully functional, the audit committee and risk committee. We also have a finance committee and the human capital and transformation committee, as well as the remuneration committee. We also have a fraud prevention strategy, which is supported also by whistleblower system, and the company that is supporting us on the whistleblower services is reporting periodically to the chairperson of the audit committee. And we are complying in all areas, certainly. I think that's all I can say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martha. Mr. Gomez is the one who is overseeing these institutions. Am I right?
Chair, that is correct. We are working very close with institutions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. There's the presentation. May we take the opportunity to interact with the presentation. Thank you. I'm seeing the Honorable Bowman, Honorable Stolle, Honorable Mohalapa, Honorable Duncan. Honorable Duncan, I did not welcome you officially. You are welcome. We trust that you are well. And then there's Honorable Labude, Honorable Sosibo. Thank you. That's all. Awesome.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies for coming a little bit late. I was caught up with something. Thank you very much for your presentation this morning. If I can just get some clarity, first of all, on your, it's probably your slide number 5, where you talk about to restore sustainability of nurture. I want to just, in the intensified drive to recover delinquent loans, can you just perhaps explain to us and clarify how practically you are dealing with that in order to recover that? And then further down in that slide, you talk about under the outcome and development targets, enhanced delivery capacity. Can we have some detail as to how you are going to be doing that? And then I was concerned, and one hears about this from time to time, reads about it, the slow payment that affects contractors that you mentioned. Can we just be clear about how you are dealing with that? I'm not sure when you give loans, and obviously the contractors have got work, and then, you know, the payment is slow to the contractors. I'm understanding that that is what you're talking about. If we can just have clarity on that. And then in your slide number 9, where you talk about your business development of existing programs, the delivery of 18,000 affordable units in the next 5 years, is that going to be equally divided up over the 5 years, or is there going to be a difference there? You also spoke about escalating, so you know, that will no doubt be increasing. Chairperson, I'll just leave it there, and then maybe we'll come back again. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. What can I do about my presentation? Chair,
my mind is voted on slide number 9. You talk about 275 million. I didn't get clearly what does that, what it says, because here I'm just advancing seeing this 300 million. And the other one, that one of delivery, our members have been saying that for the union, if you can give us some areas where they did deliver this 1800 for the units, because we have a problem with this. And then the other one, Chair, is that one of, I think the last one, what I want to find out about, they are talking about they are fully functional on which program. What I want to get, the system that they have, and this is also for one, Chair. I think the last one, Chair, is the one of minimum of 120 contractors. There's nothing that has been said here about the disabled people. Only women and youth. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Let me also appreciate the presentation. I just have comments and a couple of questions. I just want us to focus on quality and let's forget about quantity for a while. Quantity, I mean, being counting of how many loans we offer and how many contractors, but let's focus on the quality. I'm quite happy to note that you are collaborating with NHPRC in terms of assessing the value of the contracts that the SMEE are doing, because of part of the problem is you are offering these loans and to these contractors, but they continue to do shoddy work. They continue to do poor workmanship. So that is why I'm saying let us for a while pause and focus on the quality. What are you doing to make sure that the loans that you are offering to the SMEs are of good quality? And what I'm looking at here, I appreciate again the new funding model that you are talking about, the Contractor Finance and Development Program. I think it's a welcome initiative in making sure that there is training and mentoring for the contractors. Maybe it might alleviate the problem in moving forward. In slide 8, you have said the BFI process constraining planning. Can you just unpack it for us? What does it mean? Because if I know that the focus is on BFI, but if you are saying constraining planning, what are those things that are of concern to you in terms of the constraints that you have identified? But my focus is really on that one. What are you doing to make sure that the loans that you offer are of good value and you receive good value for money from the contractors that you are doing? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you,
Chair.
And also thank you for welcoming me, and I'm glad I'm back. Some of my questions have now been asked. But on page 9, I would just like the presenters to maybe talk a bit more about the state guide to finance gap housing projects. The location, I would like to know when they talk about the location, and especially before they even talk about the price of land, the availability of land, and in particular state land versus that which is in private sector. And if this might be something that the agency has a problem with, or how they actually go into addressing that. And then I want to know from the agency, how did they actually get to the delivery of 18,000 affordable units in the next 5 years? I would like to know a bit more. Whether they can just tell us, you know, what where are these units going to be, you know, delivered in the next 5 years? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. Firstly, I'd like to sent the presentation by the department. Some of my questions have been asked by my colleagues, but I just want to know, when you are talking this gap housing project, rural provinces included in this, because we have professionals there, and how are you marketing yourself so that they know that there is this animal called nature? Then my other question is, you mentioned that you work with other provinces. Which are those, at least, so that we can know when we do our oversight? Then, for purpose of quality assurance, you mentioned that you work together with NHBRC. So I'm checking if the quality houses, especially in the low-cost housing, are we going to get those, or you are going to focus mainly on those affordable houses, not the subsidized, government subsidized houses, because that is where quality is lacking. Then, in terms of enhancing building capacity, how are you going to do that? I think if you can unpack, thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My colleagues, congratulations. Nota for the presentation. I'm sure for the full presentation, because if I remember very well, last time they were sent that it came out of the time today. Thank you very much. I've got back a few, I think, one or two questions. It's on page 8. With regards to poor employment payment check process, why was that a poor payment? And I can see that you said it is revised. Can you just elaborate what was the reason for poor payment check process? Is that a 100 million that you said is already received? When? This year? Or last year? The whistleblowers, I don't know whether I heard very well that you said they report yearly once a year. Is that the case? Reporting once, that company is supporting, it reports once a year. Is it so? What if during the course of the year they broke somehow, then they will wait until the year end, then they will report. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you. We will analyze questions in terms of their relatedness. There were a couple of questions that came that relate to the slide that's on screen right now, which is related to affordable housing. I may not take them by the order in which they came, but perhaps first of all, to just explain the capitalization that is coming from the department is for 300 million. It's meant to come at transit of 100 million annually. So we received the first one in the previous financial year, which is 2011-2012. We're expecting another tranche 2012-2013 and the after year 2013-2014. So we've received 100 million of that. When we received this capitalization, we have two choices. We can use it fully as lending in national books in affordable housing, or we can fulfill our developmental mandate, that is,
approach the private sector to partner with us so that we leverage more funding for affordable housing. So what we're illustrating here, we're saying we have new financing structures with KDs, which are pension fund managers from the private sector, as well as the PID, which then is able to add, we use the 300 million, in this case the 100 million, to leverage more funding from the private sector and give them comfort that they can lend in the space for creation of a bigger capacity for funding. That is how we have been working in the past. But also just to illustrate that, it's more comforting that you are finding more of national institutions now being prepared and bold to take the risk of lending in this environment instead of institutions outside of the country. And we're seeing boldness in that area, and it is comforting. The other question was about location. How do we arrive at the 18,000 and the location of those? When planning for a 5-year period, it is hard to predetermine where all the projects will be. So what we've done is we've used the history of our lending and say what is the scale that we're able in the capacity, in the financial capacity that NESA would have and is projecting, as well as what it has done in the past. What are we able to create on the supply side? And then secondly, we looked at other initiatives that are done by other institutions. And hence we're talking about a ramp up over time. So it's not equal. It's not going to be delivered in equal, that 18,000 is not going to be delivered in equal transit every year. We're looking at ramp up because there are other parties that are playing in this industry. HDA plays an important role in releasing, facilitating the release of land in the right places. And therefore, that would allow bulk infrastructure to be developed and affordable housing, public sector to give leadership in affordable housing, and therefore that number opportunity exists in that space. So if these are projections on the basis of that history and the funding capacity that we're looking at leveraging to be able to deliver on the houses. We have, however, do have indicators that we know that have worked in the past. I will just make two major areas of, let me just make an example of the gap housing project that we have. The location is about access to work, it's about the existing infrastructure and facilities that families, when they settle there, they have access to schools, to commercial, and all those aspects. So we've done a lot of lending around, let's call, as an example, Broadyard. And the location in Broadyard and the ability of developers to have land that was bought at historical prices, and therefore they are able to deliver affordable housing at rates that are below 290,000 and below. Infrastructure is available, and therefore the developers do not invest on infrastructure, on bulk infrastructure, which may raise the prices to the end user. So that's how we approach affordable housing. And what we are saying is that affordable housing is going to be much more predictable the bigger the role the public sector plays in the release of land and the development of the I think that would be addressing the range of questions that came out of affordable housing. Just moving on to, there was a question around connections and what exactly are we doing around connections. intervention and collaboration with the municipalities as well as the department. There are a range of things that can happen there. And they are not just in, they are not just in women's settlements, because some of the projects that we learned to are impossible. In some of the projects that we would implement, there will be a project that is continued to be completed and has used. But decisions that were done in the course of the project, like variation orders that were done, or finalization of final accounts for payment, they take time to be finalized within departments or municipalities, and as a result, hold a big chunk of contractors' certificates and income. And if those are delayed, that contractor cannot come to a full settlement of their loan, because a big chunk of their income is sitting within departments. And therefore, if we can intervene to speed up decision process and allow technical people to help those contractors do the measurements in those projects and resolve those processes quicker. And therefore, it becomes an intensive process, because it is a whole value chain that you have to look at and understand where the problem was in order to develop a proper solution. And in some of these instances, you may find that there were quality issues on the part of the contractors as well. So the delinquency is also on both parties, but we learn in this area, knowing that we may experience challenges with emerging contractors, and set our structures to support the emerging contractors. So that's the effort. There's a big component of those that are legal, are in legal processes, and legal processes take various stages. It may be that we are interacting with the contractors to get acknowledgement of debt, so that they arrange payment over time of their loans from subsequent projects that they get, so that we don't get to a full litigation. There are projects that are in full litigation. So it's a whole portfolio that we set a team to drive and intervene and get quick solutions on the outstanding amounts. Just want to move, perhaps a logical move is to move into the quality of law. And I think that what I have outlined already forms part of that. Because what we are saying now in the small contractor finance and development program, we can't leave critical aspects of that delivery chain to chance. We have to collaborate and make sure that all the parties that play a role deliver on certain expectations. So when those contractors get appointed, we will know that NHVRC is sure in terms of compliance that those projects are properly enlisted. But further to that, NHVRC plays a role of training, where we identify training gaps that are required on contractors. We're working in partnership with NHVRC so that we program those training interventions upfront as a team collectively. And when we outline all other contractual related matters, how long is it going to take to pay the contractors, 30 days, 60 days, ensuring that we track all payments that are coming in, we track inspections that are happening, we make sure that inspections happen at the time required, so that there is no bottleneck in the whole value chain. And if we are able to smoothen that value chain in collaboration, you have a better load at the end of the day. And that's where quality will be. We're hoping that we will have a ramp up on this model, because it is promising to be a good model. Entities that are within one family, human settlement family, and it's better for collaboration purposes. There was another question, Chair, on the DFI rationalization. I think that that there's a change that is being managed in the human settlements to rationalize the DFR. And it is a significant intervention. When you try to negotiate long-term contracts with financing partners, because they know that there is this initiative, you always come against this hiccup, whether you are extending an existing structure or entering into a new structure, to say, what is, if we enter into a contract with you, what is going to happen in 2 years, 3 years' time when things change? And it is navigating those areas to get speedy decision on in institutions to whether they are partnering or not partnering with NATO, because they invest a lot of funding in those areas. So we were flagging it as a risk area more than it would not be anything abnormal if there's an institution that is changing. Those questions always get asked. There was also an affordable housing. The other question that I missed to chair was, what about rural property? This is an area that that continues to challenge us in terms of geographical diversification and making sure that we start to make inroads in all provinces. Currently, the provinces where in affordable housing particularly, and I'm singling out affordable housing because it was raised in that context, where we currently do not have projects, it is in the Northern Cape and in the Eastern Cape. So in all other provinces, we starting to establish presence, but we still sit with a bigger chunk of our loan book in affordable housing, still being in Gauteng and second being in KZN, in terms of volume. And the efforts are to speed the expansion to the other provinces. There would be various ways that we would do that. First of all, it requires a good understanding of what are the constraints that are experienced by each municipality, each province, in terms of facilitating affordable housing. And therefore, again, collaboration, close collaboration with provincial departments becomes important. I know that we are serving now in a committee in the Western Cape that pulls various players in affordable housing, including developers, to have a good understanding around affordable housing and what are the constraints that may hamper us from lending in those areas. Because in some instances, there may be projects that are coming in, but we're not approving them because perhaps there's no way of getting security on the land that is being developed, or the experience that you come across in the developer, a range of things that may create rejection of projects that are coming in. Those are the things that we continue to confront, but I think that we're doing very well in terms of diversifying affordable housing.
If I can just comment on the issue of the recent one, I indicated that it is fully functional, it is outsourced to a private company. I think what I was trying to say, that company comes to nature to event, to make us aware of their existence once again. And it is reporting to the chairperson of the audit committee, which is a non-executive director of nature, on issues as they come. If there is a new fraud that is reported, the chairperson will now instruct nature to do the proper investigation and report accordingly. Otherwise, the issues are investigated and I send it to as they come. But they come to nature to present, especially to the new staff members, that they exist and how they should communicate areas of concern in the area of fraud
that all the people are being considered. The issue of disability, it has been raised by the members. So I think we are going to take note of that. And I also wish to say, I don't believe that the issue of the rural province is not being Thank you.